This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Usually every time he finished a song, he'd get on a payphone wherever he was in the country and call me and wake me up. And so, like, he'd lay the phone down and start playing his guitar, you know? And that's how I heard this song the first time. I always thought this was a real pretty one. It's called My Old Man.
Alexander-Arnold. Keita. Yes, it's put in, and it is on cue. It is Sadio Mane, the man who has specialised against Villa.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me for a quick reaction to the Villa game in Scouseland, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello.
And Mr. Phil Shaw.
Hello.
Both joining me fresh from a discussion in Match Club, which actually was a decent discussion considering, well, I mean, it was a decent performance all in. It was just the lack of points on the board, but we'll get into that. So in terms of the expectations going in, Liverpool have won every game at home, haven't they, this season?
100% record, yeah.
So this is what we're dealing with. This is the context of what we're doing. What we were hoping for is the champagne would still be swilling in the belly as Manchester City put them to the sword. We thought we might have a little inkling, see a chink there, lack of motivation maybe from Liverpool. In the end, all in, a decent performance. And I think I said in Match Club and also as we were watching the game, it's like 95% of what we set out to do, and the whole match plan was kind of executed spot on. It was just that final 5% that really let us down. The you know, when we had breaks 4 against 3, 3 against 2, we just didn't have that kind of clinical final pass or the, you know, the decisiveness to do something about it. And I think that's hamstrung us since the restart.
Agreed. You know, we were, you know, set ourselves up really solidly to sort of negate the threat, which I think we did superbly for the first 70 minutes. We got into some good positions, especially on the break, but we just didn't have, as we've said on probably every podcast since the restart, we haven't got that extra gear yet to really get after a team, which today you needed to kind of gamble a couple of times, and we just never did. You know, we mentioned in Match Club about going into the United game and rolling the dice. We never really rolled the dice against Liverpool, but we managed to keep them at arm's length for long periods, which Smith will be, you know, pleased about. But at some point, we're going to have to go and win games.
But saying that, I thought we did enough to get our noses in front. I mean, as I said, absolutely. You know, we had the 4 against 3, mm-hmm. We had the 3 against 2. And it's just, I mean, we've seen it before. When somebody gets in a position, you don't feel like there's an opportunity there. It's a bizarre one.
No, for the first time, I mean, we had said before, like, you don't set up the play. Villa don't set up the play a counter-attacking game. They don't have the weapons. Well, today, we didn't have the end product, but we definitely set up the play a counter-attacking game. And yep. You've seen we had plenty of 3-on-2s, 4-on-2s. But again, it was just the final ball, the final decision-making just let us down again, just at the sharp end.
Yep.
So in terms of setting traps, as Dean Smith mentions, I think we actually did set traps to get that counter and be in effective positions. I think, you know, this is by far the best performance and most effective performance we've had since the restart. And you look at the stats, you look at the possession, and you're thinking, oh, shit, this is another Chelsea shit show, 72% Liverpool. But everything else, Villa had more shots, 9-6 in terms of shots, and then shots on target, Liverpool 4, Villa 3. So in terms of, you know, real opportunities, it was, you know, reasonably neck and neck.
I mean, let's be brutally honest. I don't think Liverpool were at their best.
They certainly
lacked intensity, which probably played into our hands. And that probably suited us in terms of it allowed us to hold our shape better when we didn't have the ball. You know, we had probably, you know, a solid back four because Konsa and Taylor didn't venture over the halfway line too often. And then the two wingers are tuck in as well. So we had at least a line of six almost along the back line when we didn't have the ball.
And that was principally to cut down those spaces in between the fullback and centre back that obviously their front three tends to thrive on.
Yeah, and we didn't let them get in behind. I think if we'd have opened up and really tried to throw men forward, I think that's when you would have seen us get picked off.
Yeah, we don't really have the players to mount a siege, though, do we? That is the I think the only way we could have got something from Liverpool is the way we play today, and we just didn't have the end product ultimately to get ahead. And it was, I mean, against Wolves, for example, you felt they would just slip into another gear and finish us off in the, you know, last 20 minutes or so, and you felt the same here. But unlike the Wolves game, we actually had chances to get in front, and when you're not taking chances, and there's, you know, there were some wasteful balls as well. As I said, you know, 95% I thought we did to the letter the plan we set out, but it was just that the fine margins, as they call them, either we're not getting, you know, look of the green, or B, the player for some reason is, you know, his timing's not in, or he doesn't just like go for it and, you know, put the boot through it.
Yeah, it is those simple things. I mean, we look at, if you take the two chances Jack had in the second half, the one that he has a chance to shoot and he hits Van Dijk in the back, and then the one right at the end where Alisson makes a decent save, but Jack really should have done better. I mean,
yeah,
fine margins.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if Jack's playing with all the pomp, I think he scores that. You know, he buries that. If he is, you know, the player that he's muted to be, puts that one away. So that, you know, if you're taking it and he is the player that the hype suggests, then it is obviously a mental situation. Or if he's not the player that is the hype suggests, then obviously there's a lot of hype there. But again, expecting a bit more from him because you need him to do something, to get something against a team like Liverpool. I mean, the only way you can beat Liverpool with the personnel we've got is to set out as we did and run the game plan, and we did for the large part of the game. And then the bits of quality you have in your team to actually step up to the plate and do something. And nowhere to be seen.
We just lack the weapons, don't we, to get it over the line, which Liverpool don't. You know, they had a couple of chances and they buried them. And that's the difference between where we are and they are. They can play very averagely for 75 minutes, take the lead, and they know that then they're relatively comfortable. And you know, by the time the second goal comes, it flatters them, but it, you know, it's game over. It doesn't really matter.
What worries me is the two scenarios that can happen here is we get relegated or we stay up. And then it's what do you do in terms of the striker situation? Because I'm not 100% convinced by Wesley. Samatta, I mean, the jury's still out. He's only scored one goal. Davis, a work in progress, potentially will work better on the championship canvas. But to get traction, you need, it's like, you know, for example, Danny Ings, Southampton aren't in a relegation battle, even though they've had some dodgy moments this season, because he's fired them out of it. As anybody used to say, you know, to get out of the championship, you need a striker who bangs in 20 odd goals. You know, we had that in Tammy Abraham, who did a lot of the heavy lifting to keep us game for that 10 game winning run. We need to address this situation because, you know, traditionally any football team needs a striker to, or strikers to reach levels. And if we had, even if we had just a half decent striker, you know, who was known for getting into double figures every season, I think we would have a lot more points in the bank, even, you know, at this stage. So do we have to go out and buy more? I mean, what is Wesley a rainy night in Stoke kind of player? Is Samatta, because his body language doesn't look that great.
They're all strikers that want service, and our strikers are just not getting put in front of goal where you think, yeah, he should have buried that. Our strikers aren't being wasteful. They're just not getting the service.
And yet we have, Aston Villa fans are led to believe, two of the best Premier League midfielders in the team. So why aren't we getting the service? What's the problem?
It could be tactical. It could be other personnel. It could just be that the collective just doesn't work. You know, you've got lots of good individual players, but they don't work as a unit.
I mean, we've said before, but I mean, can you see how the ball gets from our back four to a striker? You know, today was a bit of a breath of fresh air for me because I seen the triangles up the pitch, and it eventually got into some of those positions. I mean, it maybe didn't get the striker in, but it got us into the final third. But yeah, in other games, there's just no plan to get it from back to front.
I mean, falling out this game, we lost, and when we conceded the first goal, I wasn't that depressed. I mean, I'm just glad it wasn't a howling mistake, which has undermined us a lot of the time. A lot of decent effort has been undermined, but at the same time, It was perhaps the best performance because we did attack and we did look like, you know, we were capable of a counter. We managed to set the traps to trigger the counter, and we looked pretty good. And we had a man over at times. It was just that final pass, simple as that.
Agreed.
Yeah. And it's probably an experience from not having been in that position throughout the season.
We need points here. It doesn't matter about performances nowadays. How does this performance and what you actually saw from Liverpool, if this was our an improved performance, translate when it comes to Manchester United?
I think it shows that we can hold a good side at arm's length, which we're going to have to do against Man U. It shows that we've got the shoots are there of Villa trying to go through the gears, but at some point we are going to have to roll the dice and go, do you know what? Today we are going for the win. We're not playing to shut the game down and try and nick something. We are going for it today. And whether or not Smith will, and he'll consider that cavalier, he may play against United to try and nick the win again.
Well, I was thinking United are a bit more, let's say, the adrenaline's pumping a bit more. So those traps that we set for Liverpool might actually work better against United.
Yeah. I think United will try and force it a bit more, won't they?
Yeah, they will come knocking on the door, let's say, with more intent and probably, you know, at a faster rate of knots than Liverpool did. Because, you know, Liverpool knew they could cruise a little bit and then just step it up when they needed to in the last 10 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
So United might be more game for it. So it might be a good little dress rehearsal in that respect. I can't see us, if we go toe-to-toe with United in the way they're playing when it gets open, like, you know, Bournemouth, it wasn't like Bournemouth setting up to frustrate United. They tried to have a go and they got taken apart.
Yeah, they were naive, weren't they?
So I don't think we've got the weapons. Well, considering we've got like our strike force has one goal for the season in the league, I don't think we can play an open game against United. But I think we've seen enough from the Liverpool game that it comes down to our finishing in the final third. But
set pieces could be huge.
Yeah,
if we can set up sort of base camp in the final third, get ourselves around the penalty area, that's where you're going to get Grealish winning free kicks, and that's, you know, all of a sudden that brings the McGinn's, Horan's, etc. into the game.
And this has been one of our biggest disappointments in the restart, is our deliveries on any type of set pieces.
Yeah, because, you know, lest we forget, it doesn't really matter who scores. You know, as much as we want our strikers to be prolific, if it means the centre-backs are having to chip in with goals to keep us up, so be it. It doesn't matter where the goals come from.
But the delivery's been awful, isn't it?
Atrocious.
That gives you a lot of hope. If you look at United's back four, no matter which four they play, they're not a patch in Liverpool's back four today. And we did get into situations against them. I mean, Maguire, Lindelof, Bailly, if he plays, there's three you can get at any of our strikers.
You have to be brave, don't you? Like we were when we went to Old Trafford. We went there and we had a go.
Yeah.
I wish we had something a bit more like nippy to play up against Maguire, because he struggles against a fast-thinking striker.
I mean, Newcastle gave him a knockout blow, didn't they, earlier in the season?
Yeah, I think he might. I mean, I think Davis might play into the kind of game he likes. You know, if it gets kind of physical and Davis is trying to hold it up and there's nothing too fast and sharp going around him.
Yeah.
I think we need to give him something to think about. And, you know, Grealish needs to really kind of push in and try to get past Davis.
Grealish needs to be as close to whoever starts up front as possible against Man U. He needs to really get up the field.
Yeah, and that could be the key.
And getting more out of, you know, McGinn and Louise in the final third as well. Because potentially they're starting to purr a little bit now. And you think if they can go up another level for the running, those two could be pivotal. Even if you might have to sacrifice Jack and say, do you know what, actually, if he pulls people out of the game, but McGinn is at the races, that's when the opportunities might come.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I thought Louise again just looked very accomplished against Liverpool. Even an extra step from what we've seen already, this restart.
Yeah, physically he's putting himself around well, isn't he? And I think he's up for the scrap, but then he's also quite composed on the ball.
Yeah, there's quite a few little back heeler flicks going on. There was one little interchange between him and El Ghazi in the first half, which was pretty fun stuff. But it looked like we were playing him on the same plateau when Luis was around.
Well, he's that kind of player, isn't he? He's technically very gifted. You just need to get him on the ball and let him run the game. And I think actually, if you let him run the game, you can put Jack into positions where he can hurt teams. Jack has to delegate some of the workload.
What did you think of Graham Souness's comments about Grealish before the game regarding he doesn't see the pass early enough? And, you know, this is partly why he's getting fouled all the time.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care to elaborate?
just that, isn't he? You know, Villa fans know how Grealish plays, and he will slow the game down for you. But he's also your match winner. He wins the game for you by pulling people in and then releasing the ball. He's not just going to get his head down and run. He's not that kind of player.
If you look at the perfect example of Grealish is Connor's goal against West Brom at Villa Park in the playoff semi-final last year. Yeah. Three West Brom players go to him and he just lays it off for somebody else. I mean, he should be dragging at least two players everywhere. But since January, you must say, when he's done that, or if he's done that, nobody has went to fill the vacuum. Obviously missing McGinn to do that. And I mean, other players they're just not seeing the space, or not having the guts to go into the space and leave their predefined sort of defensive role.
Yeah, no, kind of a lack of willing runners.
Yeah, it's bravery as well, isn't it? It's that bravery to go, do you know what? I'm going to take responsibility here. I mean, a great example, as Phil used, you know, the Norwich game on Boxing Day, you know, he pulled 2-3 players in, laid it off, Connor smashes it in the top corner, goals like that. The game against Brighton when Target scored, you know, Jack sucks two players in, takes them out of the game, Target set up and scores. Those are where Jack's at his best.
Yeah, at the moment, the scenario seems to be Jack gets the ball, looks up for some movement, there isn't any, so suddenly two or three players around him, then again, nobody around, so, you know, he has to take the foul and that's it. And
yeah, he's almost playing for field position.
Yeah, and that's not going to really upset the defensive setup. You've got to have willing runners to actually, if he's taking players out of the game, then you've got to exploit those spaces and manufacture something from that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to use those players as well. I mean, there is an element, I mean, what can be hard on him, but there could be an element that he's trying to do too much himself. And just running.
I'd agree with that. You saw that in a couple of the games, certainly the Sheffield United game earlier in the campaign. You just think, you know, he has the look of a man who's got the weight of the world on his shoulders because he's taking on too much.
Yeah, there was a moment in the Liverpool game, actually, when he was on the right, he was on the left, he cut in onto his right, and there was three other players in the box where he just went for it alone when he could have potentially laid it off there. But, you know, it's a tough one. I mean, it's easy to, you know, see it on the screen. I mean, you know, Liverpool had a defence back, and you knew if he'd gone to try, you know, take it on himself, it was going to get blocked. So there is that. Does he sometimes not play it quick enough, or, you know, have that instinctive vision. I mean, he can wait a pass well when he sees it map out in a more, let's say, obvious fashion. But when it's when you need something a bit sharper to get through, like a Liverpool, didn't seem to have it in his toolbox today.
I mean, things like, you know, the break he had against Norwich when he scored at Carrow Road, and when the Sheffield United, wasn't it, the ball where he ran through them, gave the ball to El Ghazi with a great slide rule pass, cut them open, and then obviously Davies should have scored. That's where you want to see Jack. You want to see him take the ball and drive at teams.
Yeah.
Not running into a, you know, a brick wall or running it into the corner.
You need to get them to turn their heels. It can't just be running into something. He's got to have them on the back foot.
And a lot of the time when he has it on the left, the reason he can cut inside is because more often than not, he's had target or another overlapping outside of him, so he can cut inside.
I said before this game that we need to get something from Liverpool United. I mean, I didn't say what. I mean, a point would do, just because the scenario of Watford having to play Norwich, you've got West Ham playing Norwich. So if those are bankers, and hopefully Norwich put up some kind of fight, especially against Watford. But if they are bankers, you're looking at Watford. By the time we've finished with United, we potentially could be 4 points off Watford, over six behind West Ham. So suddenly you're looking at a two result swing. And you need to win, one of those at least. And there's only four games left. And to have a two-result swing within four games is asking for quite a lot. I mean, potentially West Ham, all they need is 4 points from the next three games. And then we're looking at, we'd need a three-result swing if we don't beat United. And then we don't beat Palace, then we've got a world of pain. But even though we lost this game against Liverpool, I'm a bit more optimistic for the United game than I was before the Liverpool game, if that makes sense.
I think we've just got to feel that we can go there and win. We've got to go on the pitch and believe we can do this, because we can. And you look, today we were looking for a little bit of a shoot of, you know, just give me something to make me believe that, well, okay, we can take the game to teams. Well, we can take the game to teams.
Yeah.
You know, we've got another, what is it, four days of recovery and to fine tune where we're at and hopefully, you know, get out of team.
Phil?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm
any
not
optimism?
Known. Yeah, I'm not known for my positivity, but I think it comes down to the United game. That's the pivotal point of this. If we're going to stay up, we'll have to get something from that United game. And I think there is a chance of getting something. I mean, like, I work with countless Man United fans, as I suppose a lot of people do, and you know, they're still not overly confident in how they're playing, and they weren't surprised at all whenever Bournemouth took the lead yesterday. So there's always an element of, we look at other teams sort of a bit rose-tinted, and we look at our own team the opposite of rose-tinted.
Yeah, was it? I can't remember if it was in Match Club or where I said that United, although, you know, they're getting there and they've got this fresh vibrancy in attack now, especially with Mason Greenwood, who's just, it seems to have clicked in that front three, but still in defence. It wasn't like, you know, yesteryear, with a fully-fledged, fully-formed Manchester United team, they would have beaten Bournemouth 4-0 or 5-0 in a similar scenario. But here you have a 5-2, and, you know, there's frailties in that back line at United. It's not an established back four like your Liverpool's. But we need to get at them, and or we need to take those chances that we made, like today against Liverpool.
I've said it throughout since the restart that we've just got to stay in touch with everyone, and if it means taking it to the last day, which I can see happening at this point, you take that. If it's in your hands and you've got to go to West Ham and get a result, at least you know what you've got to do.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be one game at a time, doesn't it? And you throw everything at Manchester United in terms
absolutely.
Of
absolutely.
Having an attitude to get something. There is a bit of a laziness. Some Villa fans are thinking, oh, well, we'll just wait till the last four games and, you know, we'll win three of them. It's like, yeah.
Look at what West Ham have done. If you can beat one of those big boys that teams won't be expecting you to, it's a psychological knock to everyone else. Now, West Ham have beaten Chelsea. That's your heavy lifting done. That's their bonus win. Then they go to Newcastle and get the draw. All of a sudden, they've put 4 points on the board from two potentially difficult games. Then they get to entertain a Watford or a Norwich, and you think, right, now we're all right.
But the thing about just waiting for those last four games, that you look at the fixture lists and go, oh yeah, you know, we might be able to get something from those, is just look at the league table before you go into those four games. As I said, it looks likely, unless Norwich can suddenly start performing miracles, it will be a two-result swing away going into the last four games, and it's not going to look good.
Well, look at Christmas again. Everybody said that the three games coming up to Christmas was when Villa were going to, you know,
pull away,
yeah, and look what happened.
Yeah.
Lost to Southampton, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Got hammered by Watford. So let's end this. It's just a reaction. How should we end this?
We've just got to keep the faith. You've got to keep the faith.
Means nothing, though, doesn't it, when you boil it down? I think you look at that performance against Liverpool and you think there's an improvement there. I think I said in Match Club, if all you'd seen of Aston Villa this season was the two games against Liverpool, home and away, and then you were told Liverpool had won the league at the end of the season by like 30-plus points, and then you were asked, so where do you think Aston Villa finished? I would say you would guess fifth to seventh, just based on how competitive we were against Liverpool. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
You'd say they were a top 10 side.
Oh, yeah. He's not going for 5 to 7.
No.
But you wouldn't be thinking, struggling as we were. So you've got to take heart, from that. In terms of Manchester United, it'll be this, how did we do at Old Trafford? I think we were pretty good. It's one of our better performances this season, and arguably we should have won that game.
Yeah.
So it's the next game rather than looking over the horizon at those four games, because by the time you get to the horizon, we could be knee deep in quicksand. So let's see what happens against United.
Yes, and we are playing against a team with a not so stellar manager either, in my opinion.
Oh. That's for another podcast.
No, not our manager, their manager.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. The anti-Norwegian podcast. Right, any final thoughts, gentlemen?
No.
It has to happen. If we're going to take the scalp, this is the last chance to take a scalp.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you'd prefer to take United than Liverpool, would you? Because, I mean, Liverpool, people would have said...
I despise Man United.
People would have said, oh, they've won the league, they didn't care, they took the foot off the gas, it's not fair, they weren't really playing to their full potential. So there would have always been an excuse there, but if we beat United, it's all well and good.
I mean, I said it before, and I'm hoping I am tempting fate that we haven't beaten Man U in so many, and I've been to most of these games where we've played United at Villa Park since 95, and we still haven't beaten them. Wouldn't it be ironic for the one game that we do beat them at Villa Park and there's no one there to see it?
Yeah, exactly. But we'll take that.
I'll take that.
Thank you very much for listening, people. And we'll probably record a full podcast after the Manchester United game. So stay tuned to that. Make sure you catch up on episode 108 so we're not just repeating ourselves. Thank you very much for the My Old Man Said patrons for supporting the show, and for everybody who joined us in Match Club. Big thanks to Craig Wright and Neil Walsh for signing up as a My Old Man Said patron as well. If you want to join Match Club and also obviously become a My Old Man Said patron, go to myoldmansaid.com and check out the patron option in the menu. If you're on a mobile device, just click on those three menu bars to access the patron option there. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.